Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're going to head to Philly in about 20 minutes and talk to our man Ruben Frank from WIP. We are literally going down the Falcons schedule and heading to that particular city. The Eagles are going to be a Monday night football game in week 2, but getting the latest as we get ready to start camp. So we're going to do that in about 20 minutes. If you're just joining us, cryptic tweet from Michael Money Harris, basically saying, you know, that I trust in my faith and what's going to happen next. And I'm paraphrasing. You can go check it out at Michael Money Harris, but the Braves have not said anything officially. But again, I just feel like if things are going in the right direction, Mike, you put out something different than what we just saw.
I need an MRI.
Hey, no, don't, please.
Soft tissue damage.
Come on, that's Money Harris we're talking about, Orrin. How dare you? Crying out loud. Now, it's one thing if he said, like, you know, hey, you know, he said, I trust the man upstairs. If the man upstairs is a physical therapist,
yes,
then that would be, you know, we don't know if he's talking about the big man upstairs.
Correct.
You know, yeah, you're kind of left to wonder just how bad is it? Because, you know, as we went through it, there are grades of hamstring injuries, and you figure, okay, now we do know this, in football, hamstrings can take forever. And that's why when it came down, we said maybe a month, maybe it's going to be 6 weeks, and now maybe did he get some bad news? Did he re-injure it? Maybe re-injured it. Maybe that's it. You know, I mean, I don't, I'm just guessing. And it's all we're left with when you get a cryptic
True.
Tweet.
No doubt, Mike. We can't confirm anything. David says, Dukes, man, Atlanta athletes have mastered the art of posting cryptic media posts. Yeah, well, listen, there's something to it. I'll say that.
Right.
Because he knows where he's at. Obviously, the team has said to him, please don't say anything until we can get it out there. And, Mike, he's basically saying, look, here's where I'm at. So he's telling you before whatever is going to be put out there. But hopefully it's nothing worse than where we already are. All right, 404-726-0929. Mike, you wanted to add some size. Listen, I thought James Wiseman would be a much better player when he was drafted by the Golden State Warriors at number 2 in the 2020 draft.
Mm.
But he got traded to Detroit. Now he's about to sign a 2-year deal with the Pacers. You want size, Mike?
I wanted a big guy.
Okay, well, this is another guy. I mean, he averaged basically 10 points and 5 boards.
How much they paying him?
Nothing. Literally nothing. I mean, I say that. Mm-hmm. He's going to go to the Pacers, but the Pacers are already a large, big team.
They got the wingspan. Again, one thing for certain, and I know Landry did sort of address that, talking with the media after they picked up Risache about, you know, needing defense and size. But, yeah, we you know, here's the thing. We all assumed with an expiring contract on Capella, who you're not going to re-sign.
Yeah.
Use the freaking,
he's still here, right?
Right. Use the exception. I guess they're never going to use that. We got like five, six more days to use that credit, whatever's left on it. And then trade him for another expiring contract. Get a younger, bigger guy in. And find something. Stick some up on the wall that still keeps you under the cap, if possible. And maybe you get some traction with that dude. I mean, so you're going to let Capella play till the trade deadline and then move him? Is that the goal?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, honestly.
Okay.
Okay. This market you're talking about, by the way, I mean.
They're not going to use it.
How are you going to let that money just sit there? I know there are consequences to trying to use it. We talked
about it. And it's no longer 23.7. It's less than that. It's about $20 million or something based on some other dudes that we picked up. As we said, these aprons and all the language of the NBA salary cap's confounding. But all we know is fans are, in simple language, we're not going into the luxury tax.
All right. We're going to talk some more football with Ruben Frank coming up. Listen, that Monday night game is going to be big. They're all big.
And Philly's been a house of horrors
for us. But that particular game, I think we're going to learn a lot early in the season about our team.
Philly is a Super Bowl contender, guys. I mean, we can start the season now, and I'd say the same thing. It doesn't matter if it starts in 3 months, 2 months, whatever it's going to be. But we'll get the latest as they have a lot of changes up there. Yeah, man, no man's on the way as well. Right now, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz is brought... Why did it sound like that? NFL Blitz.
Well, I got to tell you, Carl, I think we're going to go 15-1.
Brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
Let's do the whole hour. I got to tell you, Carl, I don't like what I'm hearing from Monty Harris.
Justin Herbert.
That guy's got long hair and it's blonde.
He is,
what does that have to do with anything?
Nothing. He's being praised for his leadership, Mike. Of course, this comes from his coach, right? I mean, I wouldn't expect anything else from Harbaugh.
Yeah, man.
But Herbert is apparently spending extended periods and has with his team. And, you know, we're talking about all the stuff that they've done already. The camp is the next thing for everybody. So OTAs, mandatory minicamp, all the stuff. But he's also getting this praise from Harbaugh, who says, look, he just went in front of the media and spoke for 26 minutes. He made jokes. He's just growing into a different kind of guy.
Okay.
All right, that's cool. Here's the thing, though. For Herbert and for Trevor Lawrence, and congratulations, Trevor, on the upcoming baby. You guys got to win.
It's go time. The window, you had a bunch of big-time receivers. They're gone now. You know, you had a in his defense, the coach was a complete nitwit. They wasted, just like we talk about wasting Trey's time, you just wasted 2 or 3 years with some really bad coaching in L.A. You know, Harbaugh, I think, is going to fix it. Thing with, you wonder, is Harbaugh going to, he loves to run the football.
He
loves to be physical. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be set up to take even, I guess you could argue some pressure off of Herbert, but they still got to go down the field.
They do. And they still got to rely on, he's going to have to make throws, just like every quarterback, Mike. He's going to have to make some throws that get them over the top. But Herbert is being praised for his leadership. I would hope so. I think this is that point in time where a lot of these quarterbacks start to come into their own. Mike, he already got his bag. I brought up Trevor Lawrence, who just got his bag. These are two guys that we said, man, 5 years from now, when they got picked, we're like, man, what's it going to be and how good are they going to be? Both of these guys are in a similar situation. It's time to win. I think Harbaugh being there is the best thing that could happen for Herbert. Let's talk about the Dolphins and Tyreek Hill, Mike, on why he believes the wide receiver market is skyrocketing.
I'm very excited to, like, you know, just be a part of the old wave, which was, what, $30 million, and Justin Jefferson came and surpassed that, man. So very, you know, proud of those guys, you know, happy for, obviously, my teammate Waddle, you know, getting his new deal. So for guys like me, that's great. You know, I'm 30 years old, you know, also looking for a new deal. So very, very excited to see where, you know,
I told you.
Get in. To like that category.
Wait,
it's amazing.
Did he just say, I'm looking for a new deal?
Where is Julio?
Yes.
It's Julio Jones 2.0. I told you.
He said that, didn't he?
Yes. I'm looking for a new deal. Play it back.
You got to play that back. Did he just say he's looking for a new deal?
I told you this was coming.
I'm excited to, like, you know, just be a part of the old wave, which was, what, $30 million, and Justin Jefferson came and surpassed that, man. So very, you know, proud of those guys, you know, happy for, obviously, my teammate Waddle, you know, getting his new deal. So for guys like me, that's great. You know, I'm 30 years old, you know, also looking for a new deal. So very, very excited to see
what,
you know, I
feel. Also looking for a new deal.
He said that.
Yes, it's who these wide receivers. Look,
he just got a new deal.
We talked to Tyreek a couple years ago at the Super Bowl. Of all the guys who are in each other's pockets as far as the diva
goodness.
Thing at wide receiver. No, of all the positions, nobody does it more than a wide receiver.
They ain't winning, Mike.
You knew that was coming.
They're not winning.
All that money, and you're going to have to give Tua a big deal. Yeah, I mean, this is the argument. Now, if the NFL salary cap continues to shoot to frickin' Mars because of all the TV contracts, you know, you got guys like Netflix coming in for $250 million for two games. So, I mean, as long as the salary cap keeps going up, you could argue it's manageable. But you and I have debated this a lot the last couple of weeks. When you've got a quarter of your cap going to your two wide receivers, You better be outscoring everybody by freaking three touchdowns.
Speaking of calculated, that was calculated.
Totally.
To say, oh, yeah, congratulations to my boy. Oh, Jefferson, man, I'm so happy for him. Waddle, oh, that's my dude.
New deal.
I'm looking for a new deal. That was calculated.
Yes.
I'm looking for a new deal, too. What?
Again, Julio pulled the same thing here 2.5 years after he got his
deal. Julio!
By the way, while we're talking about Tyreek Hill, strange story. out of Fox Sports reporting. We had this a few months ago. There's a social media influencer suing Tariq Hill. She's accusing him of breaking her leg. Apparently, they were doing some kind of video stunt that apparently went awry.
No wonder he wants a new deal.
Some form of horseplay. If the judge grants her request, she wants a speedy trial, immediate jury trial. attorney telling Fox the trial, she expects the trial to take 7 to 10 days. Her name is Sophie Hall. She claims that Hill forcefully and purposely shoved her while the two were participating in a football drill.
Of course he did.
At his home in South Florida. She filed a lawsuit in Broward County on February 23rd. She alleges Hill violently charged at her after she humiliated him by knocking him backwards during a friendly football session. It led to a right leg fracture that required surgery with metal hardware implantation.
How much she want?
Take a wild guess.
$30 million.
No, actually, I got to be honest. This talk about, I think you said, honey, you got to get a better lawyer.
How much?
She only asked for $75,000.
Ah, that ain't, that's jump change.
I mean, that's nothing.
Come on.
I figure six figures to seven
at
figures.
At least.
And the lawyer's going to take 25% of that.
You already know.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I mean, you're really selling yourself short, girl.
Now I get it. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just at a loss for him saying that.
Yeah, but that's.
And I want a new deal.
All wide receivers do this.
Chris, when did he sign his deal?
4 years, $120 million in 2022.
He just got a new deal.
The only guy that never pulled this that I can remember is Roddy White.
True.
And as far as teams I follow.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean? Old school guys never pulled this. But guys in the last 20 years, Roddy was always cool with it, you know?
Unreal. All right. Let's talk about.
Where is Julio?
Let's talk about Puka Nacua, because Mike, apparently he's all yoked up. Mm. Allegedly, and we have not seen him yet, but he's done a body, you know, transformation. He focused on his nutrition. You know the rookie season he had. And we were talking about Bijan Robinson last hour.
So what does he look like, The Rock now? What is he doing?
That's what they're saying. 105 catches, 1486. That's the yardage. 1,486 yards, six touchdowns. He was unbelievable. But now they're saying, Mike, he came in and he's looking all yoked up.
I was just watching Tropic Thunder. You going with that Rambo 2, man. You're shredded like a julienne salad. I'm trying to come up myself. What's the secret?
Trying to come up. So I'm curious to see Puka Nacua and what this new and improved transition looks like.
I mean, you're really cut. You're just shredded like a julienne salad.
Oh, yoked up.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you got to maintain flexibility. You know what I mean? You can't be walking around like, you can't have your thighs rubbing together like you go to a, like Mr. Olympia.
He can't look like Arnold.
Yeah. Hey, man, Bills edge rusher Von Miller doing one of his big pass-rushing summits. This time, Max Crosby, Cam Jordan joining him. Were any of our Falcon players there?
Don't know.
Because if I got to mention, well, if Ezekiel Elliott takes that big leap. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, if Ebba Cady could take that leap. Sorry, wrong name. But if Ebba Cady and who am I forgetting? The kid from Zach Johnson. I'm screwing up the names now. I'm not even on drugs today. But, no, do we send our best players to this pass-rush summit? Because these guys seem to have really done these things. And Chuck, for years,
he
would go, if you remember, you know, Chuck Smith, Joe would be at this thing, and everybody who went generally seemed to have improved their numbers the next season.
Yeah, Mike, I don't know, but I definitely will be calling and trying to find out if any of our guys are there. You're right. It is turned into a who's who. They also do, and we talk about this, by the way, on the podcast. It's in the huddle. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. There was also an offensive lineman camp that does this, Mike, and a lot of the top offensive linemen go and study the edge rushers, and it's a very similar thing. But you see these clicks in the NFL, and I say that from a position standpoint, but this has helped a lot of guys.
You guys, I mean, crossing over, whether it's, you know, leagues or rivals, and everyone gets together. Crosby's saying every rusher is different. He was talking to The Athletic. He says, I can't do what Von does. Do what I do.
Yeah.
Says, but we can all basically pick up technique and pick up new little things. So that's why I do love athletes that are at the top of their game. They're always looking to improve, right?
And by the way, I love Crosby. Max Crosby's he's a player, man.
We have a story. We'll save it for Guy Talk. Unless Chris has got it coming up in Yeah Man, No Man. You're not going to believe where Aaron Rodgers went. Stay tuned for that.
All right. Apparently, we've been sent pictures of the young lady who ran a post route on Tyreek Hill. I don't know if this is true or not.
Big booty.
That's one way to put it.
I can see her definitely knocking him off his feet.
That's one way to put it.
She's got a lot of mass.
Reuben Frank is going to join us coming up. WIP. We play the Eagles in week two. It's a Monday night football game. It already feels big, and it will be. But we'll find out the latest as we get ready to head to training camp. What's going on with the Eagles? Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we are going to talk about the dogs and what Kirby is doing. He had a great June. He's trying to top that in July. We've got SEC Media Days coming up as well. And what did the quarterback of the dogs say that has Mike and I going, okay, he might be ready. Stay tuned. It's on the way. Yeah, Man, No Man's coming up as well. We're going to get a chance to talk to Reuben Frank, Eagles insider for NBC Philly and host of a show on WIP in Philly as well. Mike, I don't know if I see, you know, the beginning of this schedule more difficult than the middle or the end. Here's what I know. Getting off to a good start is imperative. And we say this all the time, but the crazy thing is we're not playing the Saints early. We're not playing Tampa early. So getting off to a good start, and you guys can tell me all you want about, oh, you know, it's just, these are not NFC games. All of these games matter, and especially with where we've been, Mike. So I just think you've got to build some confidence early on, and it's going to be hard playing teams like the Eagles in Week 2 on Monday Night Football.
I mean, you're starting guys, when you think about it, Steelers, we're not sure exactly what Russell Wilson's Steelers are going to look like, but, you know, that team's always going to be prepared, and Arthur's going to have some up his sleeve, our former coach. But Steelers, Eagles, Chiefs, and, of course, the Saints. That's a tough – I mean, it's not a quarter anymore with 17 weeks, but that's a tough first four.
It is, man. Let's talk to Reuben Frank. Reuben, good to have you back on the show. Eagles insider for NBC Philly, host on WIP up there as well. I want to ask you, first and foremost, I heard Jalen Hurts say this offense is going to be like, what, 90, 95% new. All right, so what is he talking about? What is Kellen Moore doing now that he's the new OC?
Yeah, I think 95% is a little high. Jalen likes to exaggerate, but it's going to be very different, and it's going to be more multiple, more varied. There's going to be more motion, bunch formations. They got really stale, really predictable last year, the second half. And it was one of the big reasons they struggled so much. I mean, you can't be predictable in this league, no matter how talented you are. So I think that's what he's talking about. It's going to look awfully different, and it better. The way they finished last year better look different.
That's the thing, Reuben. For us to watch you guys, literally the number one, hands down, number one seed, to see how they're just kicking butt and taking names, and to see the wheels just fall off like that. I see like Matt Patricia tried to reinvent the defense. It just seems like did they really lose so much brain power when they lost those assistants the year before?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They did. Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon were, they were exceptional. But, they really weren't bad, at least on defense, for most of the year. I mean, they had the number 7 defense, and they were top 10 offense when the tailspin began. So, nobody was thinking at week 10 that they were going to have to replace coordinators. But, when you're predictable, when people know it's coming, nothing else matters. You can't play football like that. And they just, they got stale. They got, there's no inventiveness on either side of the ball. So, yeah, it was ugly.
Speaking of that, everybody was talking about Sirianni and, was he on the hot seat or was he not? So he changes out his staff. But where is he at right now in the eyes of the fans in Philly with, hey, we went to a Super Bowl, and then where he's at now?
Yeah, I think the way last year ended, nobody's really thinking about the Super Bowl right now, especially when they blew a 10-point lead in that game. So,
yep.
He's on the hot seat. He knows it. I think they've got to – they got to win the division and win a playoff game for him to keep his job. I think another one and done, and he's done. And I think he knows that. He understands that. The way last year ended, it wasn't a typical 11-5 season. I mean, they were 10-1. So I think that goes into the equation. A lot of people thought he wouldn't survive this offseason, but I think you kind of look at the big picture. I mean, he's got the 14th highest winning percentage in NFL history as a head coach. So. There's a lot of good things and a lot to be excited about and encouraged by, but certainly if anything like last year happens again, then, yeah, he's gone.
Hey, guys, if you're just tuning in, we're going around all our opponents on the schedule. Reuben Frank is with us, Eagles insider for NBC Philly and on 94 WIP. The addition of Saquon Barkley, it just seems like takes pressure off of Hurts. And if he still can do some of the things he could do when you saw it last year with the Giants, that seems like a huge weapon.
Yeah, and look, you know, Saquon's had two incredible years in 2018 and 2022. Which Saquon are we going to get? The guy that's been banged up and... I mean, I think over the last 4 years, he's averaged 3.9 yards per carry. So who are they going to get? And look, if he's the Saquon of 2 years ago, then you have another big-time weapon. I think you look at his receiving ability, and I think that's going to be a big part of how they use him. But, I mean, they got rid of DeAndre Swift, who ran for – you know, over 1,000 yards, made the Pro Bowl, averaged like 4.6 last year for a question mark. So it's a lot of money for a running back. It's out of character for Howie Roseman. He's never done that before. And it's a guy like most running backs. I mean, you don't have consistent – there's very few guys that are consistent, you know, 1,200 yards, 4.5. That just doesn't exist anymore because they get hurt, they get banged up. They're out of the league at 27. So, yeah, it's a risky move. And if he's the Saquon of, you know, his great years, then they've really upgraded. But there's just no telling which Saquon they're going to get.
Reuben, how do they replace Jason Kelce? Who's stepping in there, and what do you think about him?
Well, you don't replace Jason Kelce. It's kind of like Fletcher Cox on the other side of the ball. They have some – I mean, they drafted a kid in the second round a couple of years ago to be the heir apparent, and Kelce looked at film and scouted him personally, and so he's been kind of groomed for the job, and they're going to be good on the O-line no matter what because they still have Lane Johnson, they still have Landon Dickerson, they still have Jordan Mulata, and they still have the best O-line coach I think in the league in Jeff Stoutland. So I think they're going to be good, but. You don't replace Jason Kelce, and you don't replace his leadership. He was playing as well as he's ever played. I mean, that's the crazy thing. I mean, he was probably the best center in the league in his 13th season last year, so at 35. So it's a huge loss, and, it's certainly going to be different having a different face there at center.
Talking with Reuben Frank, guys, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're previewing everybody on the Falcons schedule. A lot of Falcon fans go bananas, Reuben, because we just never seem to pick up Georgia Bulldogs. And all you guys do is ref Georgia Bulldogs. is this a year where N'Kobe Dean really takes a bigger role in that defense, along with Jalen Carter and everybody else?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the one Georgia guy that they're really – I mean, they're high on a bunch of them, but Keely Ringo is – you know, I think he's going to be competing for a starting cornerback job. Jalen Carter was really good last year, and I think he kind of – it was only like guilt by association because everyone else on the defense was so bad. But, I mean, he was – I think he's going to be an all-pro really soon. Jordan Davis, he's got to be more consistent. They're back-to-back first-round picks on those guys. Nolan Smith, I don't know. You know, he barely played last year, so he's a big question mark as a first-round pick. So kind of a mixed bag with the Georgia guys. Mm-hmm. But certainly I think Jalen Carter is going to be a Pro Bowler this year and an All-Pro at some point really soon. He's that good. I think he's going to be as good as he wants to be.
How much changes with Vic Fangio?
Everything. Yeah, everything. It's going to be a completely new defense. And, there might be some growing pains. And they might have seven new starters on defense, too. I mean, they got really old and slow. And they had a lot of guys on one-year contracts who weren't real committed, I guess is a fair word. So I think they're going to be a lot younger. They're going to be faster. They're going to be more multiple again. I think they'll pressure the quarterback. They had like five sacks the second half of the year. I mean, it was ugly. Vic is a guy. Sean Desai, I think, isn't a bad coach, but he was a little in over his head. He was a first-time coordinator. Yep. And then the change to Patricia that you alluded to earlier, that was just a catastrophe. So you just can't make that change, week 11. You just can't do that. So I think there's still some question marks on defense because there's a lot of guys in new positions and new roles, a lot of free agents. But I think just having a guy like Vic Fangio is going to calm things down, I would think.
If Jalen doesn't fumble in the Super Bowl. You think you win that game? It was a huge it was a huge moment. Kansas City had nothing going on before that happened.
Yeah, I think that was really there's like three plays you can point to, and I think that was kind of a it was a weird play. He just dropped the ball. You know, it was just even if they tackle him and hold him to three there. But yeah, that was a pivotal play. Obviously the kick return, I'm sorry, the punt return down with a five, you know, there were a handful of plays that really gave the Chiefs life when the Eagles, there were some, I mean, the holding penalty on Bradbury at the end. I mean, there were a few plays that if they'd gone the other way, who knows, but that's the way it goes. And in 2017, they won a Super Bowl and they got those plays. So those things, I guess, tend to even out.
Right,
Ruben. Do you think Jeremiah Trotter is going to get any run? I know he's a fifth round pick, but that was such a sentimental pick for Eagles fans and what his dad was for that team and that city. I thought it was cool, but I'm curious to know what people are saying about him coming out of OTAs, minicamp, etc.
Well, Jeremiah Trotter is about 50, so I don't think he will, but it's Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, I just hope the city doesn't have unreasonable expectations because, you know, Trot was a three-time Pro Bowler, and he was as good an inside linebacker as we've seen around here, probably since Chuck Bednarik, I guess, who I did not actually cover, but I've read about him. But you know, like you said, I mean, he's a late round pick. I think he's a very smart guy. He's a different kind of player. He's he doesn't have the size, and the position has changed. It's more into coverage now, and you know, being versatile and being able to blitz and cover and tackle. Where Trot was just he was just an old fashioned. Kind of just run to the ball and make a tackle. So I think he'll have a chance to contribute on special teams right off the bat. But their situation at linebacker, and you asked about N'Kobe Dean, who, you know, during OTAs, he wasn't even with the first team. So there's a lot of questions. That guy, Zach Baum, out there. So there's a lot of questions at linebacker. And, if Trotter's up and he has a good training camp, anything's possible. But I think he's probably a little bit away from being a factor on defense.
From our sister station, WIP in Philly, it's a Ruben Frank. Before we cut you loose, are you going down to Brazil? And it is kind of a mini bye week because you guys will play on that Friday night on Peacock down there in Sao Paulo, and then you get us. So that'll be interesting how they handle that schedule and what they do with that travel first time down there in Brazil.
Yeah, and that's like a 10-hour flight. I'll be in the studio. I'm on the pregame, postgame these days, so I'll be here in Philadelphia. But my colleague Dave Zangara, we have a bunch of guys going. John Clark will be down there. But it's a tricky way to start the season, you know, because it is a longer, longer period from that Friday to the Monday night game. But 10 hours in an airplane, I mean, it's a long time. You get dehydrated, and they're going down Wednesday and coming back after the game. So it's back-to-back because they're going to try to do as much as they can up here and minimize the time that they're down there. I think they're going to have one walkthrough when they get there, and that's it. And that's kind of the way things are these days. When we did the London trip in 2018 to play Jacksonville, the Eagles went out late in the week and they had a walkthrough, and then they flew home after the game. Back in the old days, it was you go out there for the week. So it's tough to overcome. And the Packers are that's a really good team with a terrific young quarterback. And I think they're one of the better teams in the NFC. Good young team. So that's a challenge. And then the travel. So nobody's ever done this.
Right.
So it's I know I think Seattle's played in London, so maybe that's a longer flight. But it's going to be interesting how much it takes out of them and what the recovery's like. I'm sure they'll start recovering on the plane and getting guys hydrated and all that. But it's going to be interesting to see how it goes because it's uncharted waters there.
Ruben, you guys took two corners back to back, first round and second round. Are those guys starting against the Falcons on Monday Night Football?
Well, I think there's a chance. I think Cooper DeJean will be the starting slot. I think that's kind of where he fits in. And we'll see what happens with Quinyon Mitchell and, Keely Ringo. Georgia kid is he looks great. He looked really good in mini camps. He's probably ahead of Quinyon right now. But they're both going to, I think everyone's going to get reps in training camp in a few weeks and let that sort out. I'd be surprised if both rookies start. But they're both going to play, and know, Darius Slay is 33, 34 now. Still very good, but I can see a situation where next year, now, Kelee Ringo and Quinyon Mitchell, they're starting outside corners, and Cooper DeJean is a starting slot, and three young guys. And they have Isaiah Rogers, who had a really good mini camp and didn't play last year, but they've improved that position dramatically. You know, they had one of the worst secondaries. I think they were ahead of only Washington in passing yards allowed, and they've kind of revamped that whole position. They got, you know, it's going to be a different secondary. So I think it's going to be a lot more fun to watch them play pass defense this year, no doubt.
Ruben, thank you so much for joining us. Eagles Insider, NBC Philly, host on WIP. We appreciate you stopping by. Thanks again.
Anytime. Talk to you guys.
Cool.
I hope, and I know we got to take a break, that they are starting against Kirk Cousins. Two rookies. And look, we like both of these guys. We talked about them being here, Mike. Mitchell and DeJean. But if you're telling me they're two rookies starting on Monday Night Football in week two.
Right. And they got to fly 4,700 miles down there to Sao Paulo. Again, they do play on a Friday, and then it's a Monday, so they get 10 days.
All right. Yeah, Man, No Man's next. Mike and I were just talking about all that travel the Eagles have to do. Listen, you don't know how that stuff affects a team and the following week and, you know, all the things that might play out. We'll see. But that's a lot, man. And the Eagles are going to have to adjust. Nobody's feeling sorry for them. But, Mike, they turn right back around. Now, they'll be home against us.
Right.
But that could play a role, man.
I wonder how the field's going to be down there, too. Because every time they play in Mexico, it seems to be like a train wreck. So I don't know what it's going to be like down there in Sao Paulo. But anyway, stay tuned.
All right, guys. It's time to get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle, what's going on?
Got some fresh odds right off the machine.
All right.
From our good buddies at Bet Online, who provide us some of our favorite guests here on Dukes and Bell. They have three odds for each quarterback in the NFL this season. Passing yards,
okay.
Passing touchdowns, and interception total. They have them listed for Kirk Cousins. I'm going to give you the number.
Give me the numbers.
Tell me over under.
Okay.
We'll start with the regular season passing yards. 4,000.5 over under.
4,000.5 passing yards?
Mm-hmm.
Probably right on that number.
Yeah.
Probably right at it.
Yeah.
You know?
But yes, I'll say over.
Hopefully right at that number,
yes.
Or over, right?
Yes.
All right, next up. Regular season passing touchdowns, 27.5.
I'd like to think it's going to go higher. I'd like to think he'd do the same that Russell Wilson did last year in Denver. That's 28, right?
I got to go over.
Yeah, I'll go over on, I mean, wishful thinking over.
Listen, 32, you're going to tell me he's not going to have 32?
Right.
Over.
He averages, just for reference, he averages about 30 a year.
Right. Nice round number.
Yeah, and over the last five years.
How about 50, like Cool Hand Luke?
I believe that would be the highest total since 2017.
Right. But 30, I'd be happy with 30.
Okay. Yeah.
Especially if 8 are in Kyle Pitts' hands.
I agree.
Oh, yes, please. All right, finally, last but not least, regular season interceptions, 10.5.
Yeah, 3-1. I'll take a 3-1. I can live with a 3-1 ratio, right?
Yeah, I would agree. I think it'll be that'll be about right. Listen, if it's 10 or less, he's had a great year. Seriously. Like, if it's 15 or more, then we're struggling probably. So, yeah, I'm going to say under.
Okay, let me give you a couple more real quick, and then you tell me, because I think some of these are astronomical.
Okay.
Dak Prescott, 4,050.5 passing yards.
No way.
That seems high to me.
Yeah, no way.
Well, especially if CeeDee Lamb does. There's no way he's not on the roster. He's just not going to be there till after Labor Day.
Yeah. I don't know. There's no way. Listen, Dak will probably come close to throwing for 4,000, not 45.
How about Jared Goff, freshly paid? Mm-hmm. They're saying he's as good as Dak Prescott, 4,050.5 over under.
I said 4,500. 4,050.
4,050.
Okay. 4,050.
Yeah, that's a different number. Okay. Yes.
Take that.
Yes, I would too for Jared Goff.
Okay. And finally, a guy we just talked about in the NFL Blitz. I think this number is way low. Justin Herbert, regular season passing touchdowns, 22.5.
Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert.
Well, he lost his receivers. Ladd McConkey's one of his receivers now. And, well, they're going to run the ball, too. I mean, we talked about that earlier in the NFL Blitz. Harbaugh likes to play action and run the hell out of the football.
I still think he has 28 touchdowns.
That's really low, in my opinion.
I know.
For Justin Herbert?
I know.
You're paying him $50 million a year to get 22 touchdowns?
Let me get on my phone and use my Georgia betting. Oh, never mind.
Oh, yeah.
I would say 28.
Would you bet on that?
I would bet that.
Yep.
I would bet the over on that. All right, next up. Tom Brady made what I believe to be a shocking admission.
Shocking.
He went on the Pivot podcast, and they asked him, do you have any regrets about your playing career?
I'd be surprised that you actually won a game, but what I would have changed was, okay, this part of me that I actually still love, like when I see these young players, I see like Patrick, you know, out there at quarterback running around, laughing, having fun. I'm like, I used to be like that. What the hell happened to me? You know, right. And I just got too serious. And you know, but again, I can only look back and think, okay, if I do it again, which I'll never do it again, I would be different. But the reality is you can't. So you just learn from it and go, okay, now next phase of life, enjoy it a little more.
Yeah, kick back and smell the roses.
I would agree with that. I think that is part of what made him great was that. The other part of it was, now looking back, and you do this, Mike, when you get older, it depends. You know, when you turn 30, you look at your 20s. When you turn 40, you look back at your 30s. It's just how things work. And you go, man, I wish I would have had more fun enjoying the moment. And I think that's what he's talking about. That run was incredible. It may never be matched again. And did he maximize the fun that he could have had? Or was he so caught up in, like, we got to win, and I've got to do whatever it takes. And so he was so serious about it. But I do find that interesting. That is revealing because we now know Tom Brady can be fun. We saw him at the roast. We saw him, you know, we've seen him in other media things that we haven't had a chance to get his real personality. I'm not surprised that he's saying that.
I just don't know if you get one without the other, meaning if he doesn't have the attitude that he had, do you get all the rings? I don't know if he would have been able to enjoy it any more than he did.
You know what it reminds me of? You guys remember when we all watched The Last Dance, and most of you have, right? The Last Dance is the last season of the Bulls. And you guys remember that quote where Michael Jordan, he damn near breaks down and he says, if you didn't want to play the way that I played, then I don't want to play with you. Like, he's so emotional about it. That's what I sense with Brady. Like, if you didn't want to play the way we were going to play and the way I dealt with things, then I don't want you on the team. And that's kind of where he was, man. But I don't know. Turtle, I don't know if he could have been a fun, joking kind of guy and won all the as much as he did.
That's the thing. You know, we always talk about the great personality traits and sort of the difference and the contrast between Eli and Peyton Manning, where Peyton would literally do everything from the wind and the angles and break it down to like the subatomic level where Eli's like, okay, I'll just throw it to the open guy. You know, both guys at the end of the day wind up with two Lombardi trophies.
Yeah. Well, that's where the term comes, the Patriot way, right? That's where that stems from. All right, Big O, we got to run. Hit my music.
Coming up, he says, we are hunting, and it's not who you think it is. But I love the attitude. We'll talk about it. It's part of our dog report.
Is he elite?
Coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and I were just talking about all that travel the Eagles have to do. Listen, you don't know how that stuff affects a team and the following week and, you know, all the things that might play out. We'll see. But that's a lot, man. And the Eagles are going to have to adjust. Nobody's feeling sorry for them. But, Mike, they turn right back around. Now they'll be home against us.
Right.
But that could play a role, man.
I wonder how the field's going to be down there, too, because every time they play in Mexico, it seems to be like a train wreck. So I don't know what it's going to be like down there in Sao Paulo. But anyway, stay tuned.
All right, guys. It's time to get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle, what's going on?
Got some fresh odds right off the machine from our good buddies at Bet Online, who provide us some of our favorite guests here on Dukes and Bell. They have three odds for each quarterback in the NFL this season: passing yards, passing touchdowns, and interception total. They have them listed for Kirk Cousins. Mm. I'm going to give you the number.
Give me the numbers.
And you tell me over under.
Okay.
We'll start with the regular season passing yards. 4,000 and a half over under.
4,000 and a half passing yards?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, probably right on that number.
Yeah.
Probably right at it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, but yes, I'll say over.
I mean, hopefully right at that number,
yes,
or over, right?
Yes.
All right, next up. Regular season passing touchdowns, 27 and a half.
I'd like to think it's going to go higher. I'd like to think he'd do the same that Russell Wilson did last year in Denver. That's 28, right?
I got to go over.
Yeah, I go over on, I mean, wishful thinking over.
Listen, 32, you're going to tell me he's not going to have 32?
Right.
Over.
He averages, just for reference, he averages about 30 a year.
Right. Nice round number.
Yeah. And over the last five years.
It's... How about 50 like Cool Hand Luke?
I believe that would be the highest total since 2017. Right.
But 30, I'd be happy with 30.
Okay. Yeah.
Especially if 8 are in Kyle Pitts' hands.
I agree.
Oh, yes, please. All right. Finally, last but not least, regular season interceptions, 10 and a half.
Yeah, 3-1. I'll take a 3-1. I can live with a 3-1 ratio, right?
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. I think it'll be that'll be about right. Listen, if it's 10 or less, he's had a great year. Seriously. Like, if it's 15 or more, then we're struggling probably. So, yeah, I'm going to say under.
Okay, let me give you a couple more real quick, and then you tell me, because I think some of these are astronomical.
Okay.
Dak Prescott, 4,050 and a half passing yards.
No way.
That seems high to me.
Yeah, no way.
Well, especially if CeeDee Lamb does. I mean, there's no way he's not on the roster. He's just not going to be there until after Labor Day.
Yeah. I don't know. There's no way. Listen, Dak will probably come close to throwing for 4,000, not 45.
How about Jared Goff, freshly paid? Mm-hmm. They're saying he's as good as Dak Prescott, 4,050 and a half over under.
I said 4,500. 4,050.
4,050.
Okay. 4,050.
Yeah, that's a different number. Okay. Yes.
Take that.
Yes, I would too for Jared Goff.
Okay. And finally, a guy we just talked about in the NFL Blitz. I think this number is way low. Justin Herbert, regular season passing touchdowns, 22 and a half.
Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert.
Well, he lost his receivers. Ladd McConkey is one of his receivers now. And, well, they are going to run the ball, too. I mean, we talked about that earlier in the NFL Blitz. Harbaugh likes to play action and run the hell out of the football.
I still think he has 28 touchdowns.
That's really low, in my opinion.
I know.
For Justin Herbert?
I know.
You're paying him $50 million a year to get 22 touchdowns?
Let me get on my phone and use my Georgia betting. Oh, never mind.
Oh, yeah.
I would say 28.
Over. Would you bet on that?
I would bet that.
Yep.
I would bet the over on that. All right, next up. Tom Brady made what I believe to be a shocking admission.
Shocking.
He went on the Pivot podcast and they asked him, do you have any regrets about your playing career?
I'd be surprised that you actually won a game, but what I would have changed was, okay, this part of me that I actually still love, like when I see these young players, I see like Patrick, you know, out there at quarterback running around, laughing, having fun. I'm like, I used to be like that. What the hell happened to me? You know, right. And I just got too serious. And you know, but again, I can only look back and think, okay, if I do it again, which I'll never do it again, I would be different. But the reality is you can't. So you just learn from it and go, okay, now next phase of life, enjoy it a little more.
Yeah, kick back and smell the roses.
I would agree with that. I think that is part of what made him great was that. The other part of it was, now looking back, and you do this, Mike, when you get older, it depends. You know, when you turn 30, you look at your 20s. When you turn 40, you look back at your 30s. It's just how things work. And you go, man, I wish I would have had more fun enjoying the moment. And I think that's what he's talking about. That run was incredible. It may never be matched again. And did he maximize the fun that he could have had? Or was he so caught up in, like, we got to win and I've got to do whatever it takes? And so he was so serious about it. But I do find that interesting. That is revealing because we now know Tom Brady can be fun. We saw him at the roast. We saw him, you know, we've seen him in other media things that we haven't had a chance to get his real personality. I'm not surprised that he's saying that.
I just don't know if you get one without the other, meaning if he doesn't have the attitude that he had, do you get all the rings? I don't know if he would have been able to enjoy it any more than he did.
You know what it reminds me of? You guys remember when we all watched The Last Dance, and most of you have, right? The Last Dance is the last season of the Bulls. And you guys remember that quote where Michael Jordan, he damn near breaks down and he says, if you didn't want to play the way that I played, then I don't want to play with you. Like, he's so emotional about it. That's what I sense with, yes, yeah. That's what I sense with Brady. Like, if you didn't want to play the way we were going to play and the way I dealt with things, then I didn't want you on the team. And that's kind of where he was, man. But I don't know. Turtle, I don't know if he could have been a fun, joking kind of guy and won all the as much as he did.
That's the thing. You know, we always talk about the great personality traits and sort of the difference and the contrast between Eli and Peyton Manning, where Peyton would literally do everything from the wind and the angles and break it down to, like, the subatomic level, where Eli's like, okay, I'll just throw it to the open guy. You know, both guys at the end of the day wind up with two Lombardi trophies.
Yeah. Well, that's where the term comes, the Patriot way, right? That's where that stems from. All right, Big O, we got to run. Hit my music.
Coming up, he says, we are hunting, and it's not who you think it is. But I love the attitude. We'll talk about it. It's part of our dog report.
Is he elite?
Coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.